Nothing quite like preaching about how someone breathed on someone, only to think that you're short of breath yourself. It is exciting. It really is in so many ways to celebrate the Pentecost Mass, to celebrate this new coming, the Spirit, this reviving, this truly energetic moment. This was the very first Mass I ever celebrated. It was in so many ways an incredible privilege to be able to celebrate this Mass with these readings. B was my first year, that was 6 years ago. This is my sixth Pentecost Mass. It is incredible. Let me tell you, there's few things more terrifying than having the other priests who are there to support you for your first Mass. They stand around you to be there for your first Mass, to witness this great event. Of course, as you have to lead the Mass, it's kind of like having six veterans doing the exact same job you do, stand there on your first day of work and watch you do every single part of your first day of work. So it's a little nerve-wracking as much as anything else. I mean, they're there to help. They're not going to tell you you're doing it wrong and yell at you. They'll just tell you you're doing it wrong or yell at you. So, you know, it's just one of the two. But I remember particularly just the night before the ordination, just one of the priests invited us to the chapel and said, you know, if you guys want to work on any part of the Mass, I'm here to help. And there we were practicing, and I still remember, you know, we said, take this, all of you, and eat of it. And the priest go, no. You're saying it too fast. You have to say it slower. Okay. Take this, all of you, I need it. No, that's too slow. You gotta say faster. Okay, take this, all of you, I need it. No, you gotta say it with purpose. Okay, take this, all of you. No, you gotta do it like this. Take this, all of you, and eat it. I'm really good at mimic. I was sure I had this. Take this, all of you, and eat it. No, that's completely wrong. I don't know what you're doing anymore. Well, that's really comforting because I'm going to do this tomorrow morning. So, you know, I'm all set. You know, just I felt okay about it, and now I'm not sure if I've got anything at all. And that's really, really exciting now. But, you know, fascinatingly enough, I got there the next day, and the Holy Spirit is present in every sacrament. It really is. And there he came. He was there in the sacrament. The Holy Spirit was present. And in that moment, it was clear in a beautiful and exciting and truly incredible way, because there's the breath of God. He breathes on us. He breathes His Holy Spirit upon us. And in that moment, I remember that very important fact that St. Paul points out to us, that crucial and essential fact that though we may be many, and trust me, the priests are very different from each other, we are one. And even if we look broader than that, as we look at all the members of the family of God, though we are many, and we may seem different from each other, we are indeed one, brought together one in Christ Jesus through this Holy Spirit. I was especially reminded of this on Wednesday. Wednesday, I had an opportunity to go to a funeral in Aurora. I was the priest. A friend of mine's aunt died. I was asked to do the funeral, so I went to Aurora to this particular parish. And the beauty of this particular parish is it was old enough that their cemetery was literally right behind the church. So we had the funeral mass in the church, and we actually went straight out from there and walked straight to the place of committal, walked straight to the gravesite. The fascinating thing about it was, as I knew family, and as I'm watching this family gather at the beginning for Mass, and as I'm preaching at the homily, it occurs to me that much of this family had actually promised that they would never speak to each other again. There was a lot of bad blood. Some bad things had happened. A lot of fights, a lot of arguments. And some of them had vowed, they were sure, that they would never speak to each other again. And yet, here they were, coming together for that very basic of realities. They had all lost somebody. Someone that they cared about. Someone that was important to them. And they had lost them. And even in the church, they sat in different places in the church, and they sat in different pews. They didn't necessarily look at each other. They didn't exchange much of the sign of peace. There wasn't a whole lot of interaction there. But yeah, I'll tell you what, we finished the part in the church, and we went out back to the cemetery. And we started to head towards the place at the middle. And as we got close to the actual gravesite where we were going to commit this soul back to God, this body back to the earth, they started to look at the names of all the tombs. And of course, a large portion of the family is buried there. So as they went out there and they started walking among them, they started to not only look at each other, but they started to look at the stones and remind them of their family. Family that they had lost. Some of them they even missed. And they looked at these stones and they walked among them and they came together for that committal. And they began to see each other. And I finished the prayers at the site. I told them that from our end we were done. And I went over and I sat down on a bench and I waited. And they didn't disperse. They didn't go about, they didn't go off to the luncheon, they didn't head off to their own needs. They stood there and they began to talk to each other. They began to talk about their family, both the ones present and the ones not present, both living and deceased. They told a few stories. You know, the best ones about the people who weren't there, because, you know, that's how that goes, but they started to talk about it. And there was even the slightest hint that there was something much more there. That there was something that brought them together, not just blood, not just this reminder of their family, but the fact that there's something bigger than themselves. The fact of the matter that there is more to it than just themselves. And that no matter what their struggle, whatever their shortcoming, whatever it is that brought them apart, that they still needed to remember that there was something more at stake in their life. That there was something bigger in their lives that had to include the fact that they had lost someone. Now, I'm not going to tell you that they magically forgot all of their woes and reconciled with each other, because that's not how this story goes. But I will tell you that in that moment, all of them were reminded that there was something more than just their personal hurts. There was something more than just their personal loss. And that there was, in fact, their faith that actually brought them together. Not all of them were Catholic, but all of them believed in that one baptism. And they did come together under the Holy Spirit and remembered, if only for a moment, that our lives are bigger than just ourselves. That our lives are bigger than just our own limitations. And that, as St. Paul reminds us very, very clearly, and though we have many parts, and those parts may vary in shape, size, and use, we are one united body of Christ. And it is in that one body that we are brought together by the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes we talk about the Holy Spirit, we think of Pentecost, that first Pentecost, that Pentecost that we celebrate today, that mighty wind that came down upon the apostles, that loud, driving, powerful wind that brought flames of fire, and the tongues of fire that rested over each one of their heads, and that mighty wind, and that impressive flame, and singing the glory of God in every language they could ever possibly conceive of. They didn't even know those languages, and yet there were people from all parts of the known world, and they all heard in their own tongue the glories of God being sung. That is definitely the Holy Spirit. But you know, fascinatingly enough, I don't actually think that's how the Holy Spirit operates more often. Not to say that He doesn't operate that way. I mean, obviously we've got proof that He operates that way. But I don't think this is His more common recognition. I think the Holy Spirit is very much alive, very much active, but He doesn't have to come as a mighty wind. He doesn't have to come as a fire trying to burn over our heads, making us duck and cover just for fear that we might set our own foreheads on fire. Although, you never know. You know, if you see a bald spot, maybe it's just burning a little too close there. Maybe the Holy Spirit's a little more active. Who knows? I think the Holy Spirit actually is very much alive in that very gentle breath of God. That very subtle way we see it in the Gospel. As Jesus appears amidst His disciples and He says, "Peace be with you." And He breathed on them. And He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You know, every Chrism Mass, we have one a year where the oils throughout the diocese are consecrated. The bishop actually takes the oil and he breathes on it. And that's not because some asthmatic bishop had to do that one day and they all thought it was a good idea to follow, but genuinely it was a reminder we wanted to have this pouring out of the Spirit. We wanted to have this genuine breath of God as a reminder that the Holy Spirit moves in even these most subtle breezes, these gentle breezes. Of course, I emphasize gentle breezes, but also be mindful that tomorrow apparently we have a wind warning about 50 miles an hour, so, you know, it comes in both high and low. But the Holy Spirit is there. Gentle, constant, present. And in that breath of God, in that very particular softness, we have an opportunity to not only receive the Holy Spirit, but to make use of all of the gifts and fruits that come along with it. All those ones that we learned in our confirmation class and then promptly forgot about. You know, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, piety, fortitude, fear of the Lord, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and gentleness. I had Baltimore Catechism, I remember these things sometimes. Who knows? Whether we can actually name them or not, it doesn't actually change the fact that we still receive them. And that through these gifts we are imbued with this genuine strength, this genuine power, this genuine love of God that He wishes to impart to each and every one of us. So as we celebrate this Pentecost, let us be mindful of two very important things. First and foremost, let us be mindful of the church at large, that all of us celebrate this incredible family of God, and that we are, in fact, woven together by the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit, as my second point, is still actively present in our lives. And whether we see Him as a mighty wind or a gentle breeze, He is, in fact, that constant reminder to us that God is present in our life, filling us with His Spirit, filling us with His gifts, and guiding us ever closer together. See beyond yourself and see that gift of the Holy Spirit. And we will celebrate this great Pentecost.